Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this edition of On the Double with the Double S Express. I'm Sean Boyd, alongside with my co-host, who will be with me momentarily, Sean Wally, giving you the best in sports. This week, we'll be talking to one of our guests, Percy Allen, the first guest on our show, and then later in the show, we will have Sacramento Kings legend, Bobby Jackson. Before that, just want to catch you up on a little bit of action on what's been going on in the world of sports. Man, there are a lot of things that have been going on, especially in the NFL. Things are starting to murmur and pick up as the trade deadline starts. One is that out of Tampa Bay, they're talking about the Bucks cutting Darrelle Revis. And, of course, that would be something huge as far as opening up salary cap issues. And around the NFL, there's been a lot to talk about as far as the salary cap issues. Darrelle Revis sounds like he will be one of the latest that will be a casualty in the salary cap. Santonio Holmes with the New York Jets also being released as well. And so this is just the tip of the iceberg on what's going on around the NFL. There will definitely be more to come on that, and we'll keep you posted. On the brighter notes, of course, there's been talk over the past couple of weeks with Seattle Seahawks defensive end Bennett, who has actually signed with Michael Bennett, who has actually signed with the Seattle Seahawks. It is rumored to be 4 years and $24 million. And so with $16 million of that being guaranteed. And so those are some of the great things that are happening, or some of the things that are happening around the NFL. Of course, we can talk about some other things as well as we shift gears to the land of the NBA. And, of course, with the Miami Heat making their run towards an NBA title, there have been a little bit of ups and downs here. Of course, they ran into a buzzsaw yesterday against the Chicago Bulls, where the Chicago Bulls beat the Miami Heat in overtime and upended the LeBron James and D. Wade train that came into Chicago. And so with that being said, the NBA is set, or looking to be set, down the stretch with the Indiana Pacers and the Miami Heat vying for the East. Now in the West, of course, it is looking to be, one of those two-team races between the Houston Rockets along with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Oklahoma City Thunder are trying to make waves as well in the NBA. And so, with Kevin Durant and, of course, Russell Westbrook coming back from his injury, this is set to be one of those events down the stretch to where the NBA in both the East and in the West have about four teams that are going to be looking to gun for that NBA title. I am now joined with my co-host, Sean Wally from the Pacific Northwest. Sean Wally, how you doing this evening?
Man, Sean Boyd, thanks for carrying the show this far. And, sometimes with live radio, as we've learned, things happen and get in the way. And unfortunately, that was the case to start the show off. But, hey, nothing but blue skies and sunshine from here on out.
Yeah, definitely. And of course, down here in Southern California, the clouds have definitely opened up. There's been a little bit of rain, Sean Wally, for the past week. And, now it's cleared up a little bit. 67 degrees. Looks like it's going to be 80 going towards the weekend. So nothing but blue skies coming up, my friend.
Very, very nice. And I know the Pacific Northwest is getting a deluge of rain, especially on the west side of Washington and even into western Oregon. And the east side of the state, quite the opposite. We're going to be up into the 60s. So blue skies and sunshine, eastern Washington, if you want to find some sunshine. West, if you're on the west side of the Cascades, come on over. Sunshine and blue skies.
Yeah, no, you know, speaking of, as I'd mentioned earlier at the beginning, Michael Bennett in the NFL getting a chance to sign with the Seattle Seahawks. It looked like in the beginning that it was he was going to – actually, he did test the free agency and found grass was definitely greener still up in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there were reports as late as this morning that Michael Bennett was – that the Chicago Bears were ready to sign Bennett, and they thought that was going to happen. And you've got the influence of his brother Martellus, the tight end there in Chicago. And, you know, signs were pointing to him signing in Chicago in terms of the family love and more money. And in the end, Bennett stayed with the Seahawks and a nice guaranteed money. The Super Bowl team coming back mostly intact. Of course, you can't bring everybody back. We know that Red Bryant's now in Jacksonville and Sidney Rice has been cut and probably will be elsewhere. And you can't bring everybody back. And it's a bit unfortunate, but that's what happens when you have the salary cap.
You know, speaking of the Chicago Bears, they are definitely active in the early free agency here. You know, now that Michael Bennett has made the decision to stay with the Seattle Seahawks, it looks like now the Chicago Bears are gunning for one Oakland Raiders, Lamar Houston. And so, you know, the Raiders, of course, my team, you know, that's never anything good, you know, to hear down here in Northern California when one of your best players might be leaving the Raider Nation.
Yeah, and things should be very interesting down in Oakland here starting tomorrow when free agency begins, because you've got cap space finally. The Raiders and Reggie McKenzie at GM have corrected some of the cap issues, and now they have money to spend. So it'll be interesting to see who they get to come to Oakland and who they throw that money at.
Yeah, you know, and you know, the, one of the other rumors is that Jared Valdir, the offensive tackle for the Oakland Raiders, could be heading elsewhere as well, possibly Chicago, I've heard, along with the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, there's a few players currently on the roster for the Raiders that may not be back. Of course, it's all rumor and speculation at this point, and starting tomorrow afternoon, we will find out what's really going to happen and who the Raiders go after.
You know, there are a lot of things that are going on down here in the Bay Area, especially in Oakland. There's, you know, a huge eye that's going on. There's, like you said, the $60 million in cap space that the Raiders have. You know, are they going to pull the trigger and get big, you know, big time players and big name players in? The other question is with the three teams down in Oakland on the East Bay, you're talking about the A's, the Warriors, and the Raiders. It's been a huge discussion as far as what's going to happen, you know, with the three teams. It, you know, it could be that all three teams could be leaving the East Bay.
Yeah, that would be a shame for sure. And it's something that the civic leaders have to get straight. They've got great fan bases, of course. A lot of teams have solid fans and fans that have been there from the jump, from the get-go. And it's time that community leaders, the ownership groups, the leagues get together and do the right thing.
You know, my take on this is that, you know, because there's been a lot of discussion, it seems like a lot of weight on the city of Oakland. Some say that, you know, you should just cut the weight with one team and try to, you know, save two of the teams. Some say let two teams go and keep one team. You know, I look at it this way, Sean Wally. I think that if you have three teams in, you know, in the city, you keep all three teams. You do whatever it takes to keep those teams. Now, you know, with the Oakland A's, there is, you know, talks of ownership wanting to build a temporary baseball stadium. Believe it or not, a temporary baseball stadium down in San Jose. Now, I don't know what the likes of that are, but, you know, last I checked, the San Francisco Giants still own territorial rights, which, you know, sounds crazy to me as well, and that's a whole other story, down in the San Jose area. So how could you build a temporary stadium when you could just go ahead and build, you know, the main stadium and call it good?
Yeah, especially when you have teams like the New York Mets, the New York Yankees. I mean, they aren't too far apart. And now there's going to be territorial rights and restrictions with the Giants and the A's. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, you know, and so you have that issue going on. You have, you know, the Golden State Warriors who actually play right there in the Oakland Coliseum at Oracle. And they're talking about going across the bay to San Francisco where they're having problems again. And here goes this franchise with the San Francisco Giants as far as building territorial rights on the pier. And so, you know, the central focus here is the San Francisco Giants and what they can allow. But it sounds like, you know, you have two teams that are trying to get out. And then there are the beloved Raiders who, when Mark Davis says that after discussions, he's trying to keep the team there, but it doesn't seem like there's any type of bargain or negotiations going on that will move forward the process in building not just a stadium for the Oakland Raiders, but, you know, for the three teams as well.
And, of course, you've got the latest rumor of Portland trying to garner up interest, fan support, and state funding support for a stadium and possibly bringing the Raiders there. And right now it's in the very, very infancy stages in Oregon, and they've got a petition going. And then you've got Mark Davis, the, of course, owner of the Raiders, saying, you know what, I don't want to say that it's the last chance for Oakland, but at some point the city, the county, everybody has to get together and make this thing happen. And it's appearing like it's becoming the 11th hour in Oakland.
Yeah, you know, and as right now, as we speak, Mark Davis says that he wants to keep the team in Oakland, and you know, that's the first goal. But you have to like the spirit of teams like Portland that want to get in on this. You know, they have one major sport in their town, and that's the NBA, and they're trying to, you know, get themselves on the map as far as, you know, other professional teams. And so, you know, you have to like that spirit. Right now, it just seems like, you know, Mark Davis is focused on Oakland, which means that, you know, the city of Oakland has to get on the ball and understand that they have, you know, a jewel here in an historic Oakland Raiders franchise and, you know, Oakland A's and the Golden State Warriors nonetheless as well.
Now, Sean is a lifelong Raider Nation member. Your uncle played for the team back in the 70s. How devastated would you be if your Raiders not only left Oakland, but left the state of California?
Yeah, you know, well, obviously, when I was growing up, the Raiders had left Oakland a time before. And, you know, it did hurt in the beginning because you've gotten so used to rooting on the Oakland Raiders. I think it was, you know, moving about 4 hours south wasn't as big of a deal. It was a big deal for the East Bay and Oakland. But it wasn't as big of a deal moving down to Los Angeles at the time, but when you're talking about moving out of state, Sean Wally, yeah, that is a big deal. And, you know, the biggest thing is once a Raider, always a Raider. And I think that if that did happen, and we're just hypothetically speaking right now, but if that did happen, we understand that, you know, as the Raider Nation, that is who we are. The Raider Nation isn't just California. The Raider Nation covers the nation. It covers the world. And so, you know, I think that even it would hurt. And of course, you know, in Oakland, you know, we would eat our young and scratch and claw and argue tooth and nail on, you know, them leaving. But eventually we would still root them on come Sunday.
Let's switch gears now and go out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in Percy Allen of the Seattle Times. He runs the Husky men's basketball blog. Percy, thanks so much for your time tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, Percy, thanks for being on the show on the Double with the Double S Express. Big things happening in men's basketball with the Huskies getting ready for the Pac-12 tournament against number 8 Utah. How do you think these guys are going to fare coming up?
Well, it's a fairly evenly matched game. You know, basically you're looking at the number 8 seed Utah and number 9 seed Washington. Both teams split the regular season meetings, both teams winning at home. They're like two teams that are primarily guard-oriented. They go with a three-guard lineup. Both of them are led by 6'5 wings. For Utah, it's DeLon Wright, who is, I mean, you know, this kid kind of came out of nowhere, sort of like a JC kid, does a little bit of everything, plays outstanding defense, shoots an incredible percentage from the, you know, from the field. And then for Washington, it's basically the sharpshooter CJ Wilcox. So if I'm taking a look at that matchup, you know, now you put these two teams on a neutral floor. You know, you're playing at noon on a Wednesday. Not sure how much sort of energy is going to be inside of the building. I just hate to give like a cliche answer here, but I think it's a coin flip. I really do.
Yeah, you know, I believe you're right, Percy. You know, when you're looking at both teams, number 8 Utah, number 9 Washington, and they're both 9-9 in the Pac-12. You know, they're only separated by, you know, by their overall record. The big thing is, you know, on Montlake, the University of Washington was expected to do a little bit better. And you'd mentioned one of the players, C.J. Wilcox, but also Nigel Williams-Goss. They've received all-conference honors. You know, what's going on in up in Seattle as far as, you know, the potential of the University of Washington and what we're actually seeing?
Well, it's really a deeper story than just like this season, and I'm not even sure if we have, you know, enough time to really get into it. But just in a nutshell, the recruiting hasn't been there as to the level as it was a few years ago. And now that just has to do with, and you know, honestly, it's like quite fascinating. You know, it just really has to do with the maturation of a program. And just basically, in short, it's this: here's Lorenzo Romar, played here back in the 80s, came back and sort of revitalized his program. First 9 years, took him to the NCAA tournament 6 years. And so basically he's got this program rolling, and now he's figuring that, you know, to like get it to the next level, I need to go after a different type of recruit. And so he kind of went all in. He went all in for about 2 years to try to get these 5-star out-of-state guys. And essentially, that just didn't happen. You know, it just flat out didn't happen. And so now we're starting to see the result of that on the scoreboard this year. You know, that's why you only have a 2-man senior class. Basically, one of them was a transfer that, you know, that has only played here for 1 year. So, you know, because they, you know, shot for the moon, you know, and kind of went after kind of, you know, what fans sort of want them to do, it didn't necessarily happen. And so Romar has realized now that, you know what, that's not going to happen here. And so he changed his recruiting philosophy. He's gone back to what he used to do and basically just take, you know, the like a good 4-star kid who is local as opposed to chasing that 5-star guy who is out of state.
Longtime Seattle sports writer Percy Allen joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. And Percy, you're touching on Coach Romar and the recruits he's trying to bring in. How much has the program been hurt by guys leaving early for the NBA in the last couple of years? You've got like Terrence Ross, Tony Roten, and, you know, the team was doing very well, and now it's a little bit mediocre.
Well, you know, obviously it has been hurt. Terrence Ross would be a senior this year, and Tony Roden would be a junior this year. And so, you know, any time you, sort of have first-round draft picks lose or sort of leave your program, that's going to hurt. But, you know, at the same time, I would say, well, that's kind of what you sort of built your hat on, too, that, you know, that, like, they're not going to turn those guys away. So that's just the life of college basketball. It happens everywhere. So it's not just happening at Washington, and they have to live with that. And, you know, we all know that the lifeblood of college sports is recruiting, that you just have to, year after year, just keep bringing guys in, and when guys leave, you have to replace them. This isn't the NBA, where, like, guys, you know, sort of stick around for 5, 6, 7 years. It just doesn't happen that way. So, you know, Washington just really flat out just has not been able to replenish that cupboard every year like, you know, like they did early.
If the Washington Huskies play their A game in this tournament, how far can they go?
Oh, well, if they play their A game, you know, even if they play their A game and they get past Utah, boy, there's a monster waiting for them on Thursday, and that's number four ranked Arizona. So, you know, that boy, that Arizona team is scary good, and they're scary good on defense. They're holding opponents to like 57 points per game, and it's that defense that is just outstanding. So, you know, it is going to be now. Again, if Washington can get past Utah, and that's a big if they get past the Utes, then, you know, man, it is really going to be an uphill climb for them to get past Arizona. Now, if you're telling me that they can win their first two games, then I think they've got it rolling, because I've seen it in this tournament before. 2 years ago, Colorado was like the number six seed. And they won four games in 4 days. It's tough to do. It's only happened once in the tournament, but I've seen it. And when you talk to Colorado coach Tad Boyle just about how did that happen, it's really about getting that first one and kids starting to believe. And then once you get that belief going, then it can just be this train, and it's just sort of pushing down the track here. But there's a reason why it's only happened one time, because it's just really tough to do.
Percy Allen, kind enough to join us on the double with the Double S Express. And Percy, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because one of your articles today, you were talking about UW must win four games in 4 days to make the NCAA tourney. Now, I'm thinking that you probably wouldn't have said that if you didn't believe it just a little bit.
That they can do it?
Yeah, that they could do it.
Well, look, I give everybody in this tournament a puncher's chance. I really do. You know, now, that's not to say that I think that number 12 seed USC can win four games in 4 days, but I think USC can win a game or two. And I say that only because, you know, if you've watched Pac-12 basketball, and not just Pac-12 basketball, but just college basketball this year, there's really not, you know, that overwhelmingly heavy favorite. And in this tournament, the so-called favorites, the like teams that have that first round bye, they've all got some weaknesses to them. So I can see one of those teams going down. So, yeah, can Washington do it? Yeah. I mean, sure, it's like possible, but it's like possible for Washington. It's possible for Colorado. It's possible for Stanford. So, you know, really, I really believe that there's about 10 teams, really 10, that can win this tournament. I don't think that Wazoo at number 11 can win it. I don't think that SC at number 12 can win it. But everybody else, I really believe they have a chance to win this tournament.
And yes, Percy, you're mentioning, you know, some great points here as far as the parity in men's Pac-12 basketball. You know, let's talk a little bit about that bye. For the top teams, you have Arizona, as you were saying, facing the winner of the University of Washington Utah game. There's a sleeper, that the sleeper game that I'm looking at, and that's you know, game number eight, which is Arizona State getting the winner of Stanford. That one could be pretty close. I mean, Stanford, they've shown signs of greatness, but at the same time, they show some signs of skittishness as well. But that's one of the games that I'm definitely looking at.
Same here. Yeah. And, yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there, because, look, that Arizona State team, even though they're the number three seed, they're not a great number three seed, because if you really take a look at their record, they've lost the past five games on the road. So, yes, they're the number three seed, but they tied there. You know, there was that big log jam there, you know, at third place. It was, you know, and all of those teams finished 10-8. And so, you know, basically they're all the same. They're all the same, really. And you just sort of put them all in a hat and shake it up and, you know, and just really pick one team out of there. And that's really how that tiebreaker scenario sort of came out. So, like the seed, don't look too much at the seed other than 1 and 2, 11 and 12. And that's really it. Otherwise, that seed does not matter. So, yeah, I am with you. I think that Stanford team, at least on paper, they should be able to do some damage. But at the same time, as you said, I've seen them just look skittish. And, you know, but I think you could say that for really And really, I think you can say that for every team in this tournament, that at times they've shown, you know, that they can be, you know, a really juggernaut type of a squad, but they've all got their sort of weaknesses to them as well.
Percy, there was a great game down in Eugene on Saturday. The Oregon Ducks continuing their winning ways, 7 in a row, upsetting Arizona. Can Oregon continue this run and have a chance at this tournament?
Yes. Oh, yes. You know, someday, at some point in time, somebody's going to look back on this Oregon school and maybe do, like, a case study or, you know, because it is flat out amazing. I think if you talk to Dana Altman now, boy, he's just got to be a nutcase trying to figure out his squad. I mean, this is a team that, you know, that just looked incredible at the start of the season, winning 13 straight games, you know, ranked as high as number 10 in the country. They just looked phenomenal, right? And then the wheels fell off. I mean, just absolutely fell apart. The next 10 games, I want to say they were four and six over the next 10 games. Just looked absolutely horrible. Well, you know, and they didn't look absolutely horrible because during that stretch, I want to say they lost 4 games by 2 points or less. 4 games by 2 points or less. I mean, that's just got to be so heartbreaking. And it got to a point where, you know, they just started to question themselves. And then, you know, I wish I was there, but all of a sudden, I saw close up because I saw them beat Washington. That team clicked, and they won their last 7. So here's a team that won their first 13, then won 4 and 6. Now they've won their last 7, and lo and behold, this is the defending Pac-12 champion. So they know how to do it, you know, and they've got the tournament MVP still back there. So it is in them. This team knows how to win. So yeah, I totally agree that like I would not be surprised if they're cutting down the nets again on Saturday.
Percy Allen, you've got a tough job the next few days in Las Vegas covering the Pac-12 tournament. Your pick for the Pac-12 tournament champion?
You know, we just talked about it. I'm going to go with Oregon. Yes, they would have to win 4 games in 4 days, but I just, you know, there's something about being hot. And I think this team is on a roll right now that they found something. They've got Joseph Young, the scorer. They got Jonathan Lloyd, the playmaker. They got Mike Moser, who in these past 3 weeks, I don't think there's been anybody playing better in the Pac-12 conference than Mike Moser. And guess what? This kid's going home. He played last year at UNLV. He gets to come home. Well, not home, but, you know, he, like, gets to come back to where he played and, like, find some friends there and to, like, really show what he can do. And this kid's trying to get to the league, too. So, you know, I'm going to go with Oregon.
Percy Allen of the Seattle Times running the Husky men's basketball blog. Thanks so much for your time. Safe travels to Los Angeles, and we'll look for your coverage of the Pac-12 tournament.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right. Thanks for coming on the show, Percy. Percy Allen joining us on the double with the Double S Express. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we will have guest number 2 on the double, and that is none other than Sacramento Kings great, former Sacramento Kings great, Bobby Jackson. So keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on the double.
This is Michael David from Seattle. I've lost 35 pounds of fat, and my waist went from size 38 to size 32. I have more energy, and I look and feel 20 years younger.
Andro 400 is the natural, safe, and effective way to lose weight, gain energy, increase testosterone, and feel young again. Too good to be true? Then listen to what Bob and Jim have to say.
And in 30 days, I lost approximately 10 pounds. After another 30 days, I lost another 8 pounds, so a total of 18 pounds lost in 60 days. My libido has been increased 100-fold, and I feel like a teenager again.
I've been taking Andro 400 for about a year now. I've lost a little over 30 pounds. I have more energy. The biggest thing is just feeling better about myself, a lot more confident.
Guys, it's time to discover what Andro 400 can do for you. Call 888-400-0435. That's 888-400-0435 or go to andro400.com.
Guys, are you having trouble getting to sleep? Would you like to know the secret to getting a great night's sleep every night? Bruce Feeney discovered this secret, a new, all-natural sleep aid for men. Listen to what he says about it.
Hey, you know, I tried a product recently called Love to Sleep. It was a great product, helped me a lot. It took 3 or 4 days for it to start working in my system, and I fell asleep very quickly and got up rested. And if I got up during the middle of the night, I ended up coming back to bed and fell right back to sleep. I would recommend it to all my friends.
If you, too, would love to get a good night's sleep every night and wake up feeling great in the morning, try Love to Sleep, the new sleep aid for men. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. And because Love to Sleep is all natural, it's completely safe with no side effects or risk of dependency. Go to lovetosleep.com. That's lovetosleep.com.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. Standing in the Hall of Fame. And the world's gonna know your name.
Cause you fell with the first flame. Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. And let's go right back out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in 12-year NBA veteran, former Sacramento King, among a few other teams, Bobby Jackson. Bobby, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Well, no problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Bobby, thanks again for being on the show. And, you know, it's always a pleasure, man, to get a chance to sit down and talk with you. And, I know that, you know, for me having you on the show, it's great because of the relationship that we had built, you know, a couple of years ago. And some of the great things that you do in Sacramento, of course, this is, you know, where you claim is home. And, you know, we love having you here in Sacramento. Of course, being an assistant coach and having some strong playing days there. You know, tell us a little bit about the adjustment that you had to make recently of going to Minnesota and becoming an assistant coach over there.
That was a huge adjustment. You know, I had to, you know, do what was best for me as far as the coaching realm, and I wanted to continue my coaching career. So, you know, it was a tough deal. I had to leave my kids there and come here, and I think that's probably been the hardest part, is not being around my kids and not seeing them as much as that I was used to. But for my career, I think it was for the best and probably the best thing for me.
You know, there's some things that you had mentioned, you know, having to leave, you know, leave family. Of course, that's something that you've done in your NBA career. But I know at this time it's a little more special. You know, you have a son who's a senior in high school. You have Kendrick that's doing some awesome things. He's tearing it up, I believe, in Wyoming, getting ready to set his claim over there, I believe.
Yeah, he is. You know, he's a junior this year. You know, he's up
junior,
for
okay.
Gatorade Player of the Year in Wyoming. So he's having a great year, and he goes to the state upcoming weekend. And so I'm thrilled about that. I'm thrilled to go see him play. But it was tough just to leave Sacramento. And overall, I've been there since 2000, and I kept my home there since 2000. So, but you know, you never could be in one place your whole career, you know. So that's the change that I had to make, and you know, and it was for best for me career-wise.
Bob, for those of you who are just joining us, Bobby Jackson on the Double with the Double S Express, and you know, Bobby, you had the chance to come into town here last week, and you know, for those of our listeners that don't know. Again, you have such a big heart, and you have more than just your kids that you raise in the household. And, you know, you mm-hmm. have a lot of kids that you've raised. Of course, you had the group Spirit Got Game. And you had a chance mm-hmm. to enjoy a huge basketball game, I believe at Sac High last week, where Cameron Oliver, one of the kids who you helped raise, got a chance to, you know, beat a huge nemesis in the Sac High Dragons. Tell us about that experience.
I mean, it's always good to, you know, to see the kids, my kids, and see the kids that I work with and help them develop the game. And, you know, I think that's why I do it. You know, I want to see them be successful, but just teach them, you know, about life, how to be young men, but also how to be an athlete. And it was great just to see the guys that was on Spirit Got Game, Cameron and Jeremy, which was my two main guys, have such an impact on the game, but lead their team in a fashionable way, but, you know, to a victory. And, you know, they've seen it now, you know, and I think I've done a great job with putting an imprint on their lives. And now the next phase is for them to go to college. And that's all you ask for. You want them to go to college, get an education, and possibly, you know, go on and play professional basketball, if not, but definitely getting a college degree is the first thing and foremost. So at the end of the day, their parents trusted me to come in and be a type of role model that's going to teach them about basketball and life. And but at the end of the day, they worked hard and they got themselves to where they need to be today.
Bobby Jackson joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. And Bobby, who were some mentors or coaches that you had throughout your playing days that guided you and gave you things that you can now relate to either your kids or youth that you're working with in your life right now?
Well, number one was Floyd Kerr. He got me started in basketball in Salisbury, North Carolina. And I got to say, the next guy is Clem Haskins. You know, he really taught me how to be a young man. He taught me how to grow up and take ownership and, you know, lead by example. And he told me I was a leader, but, you know, you got to do the things the right way. And he helped me get to where I wanted to be in life, and that was in the NBA, but also helped me grow into a fine young man and be a respectable young man.
And how do you take what you've learned and relay that to players in the NBA now that you are on a coaching staff?
Well, you know, it's different. You know, I think, you know, I played 12 years, and, you know, guys can always comprehend when you play, and, you know, you try not to over-talk them, and you try to give them that space, but when you see things, you just don't try to beat them down. You try to give them a little bit of knowledge each day, each and every day, you know, because sometimes some people don't want to hear the same things, but, you know, I just try to instill in them that the things that was instilled in me as a professional and as a collegiate guy, you know, and I think, you know, doing things the right way, being a professional, coming to work early, getting your work in, and dedicating yourself to the sport. I think those are things that I learned as a professional, and that's why I was able to play for so long.
Now, Bobby, one of the things that, you know, that our listeners probably don't know on the outside looking in and people who've watched you play, man, you are a go after it type of person. I mean, you get after it, something fierce. And that's even in the way that you coach sometimes, in the way that you mentor, you give it to the kids straight up. I mean, you're not trying to sugarcoat anything. Is that something, you know, that you learned from Clem Haskins and coaches in the past?
Yeah, I'm an old school type of guy. So, you know, I think sometimes you got to have tough love, but also you got to be compassionate. You know, you can't always beat the kids down. You can beat them down, but then you got to pick them up. You got to tell them when they're doing things right, and you got to tell them when they're doing things wrong. You know, and it, unfortunately, when you're playing basketball as a coach, you know, you don't see a lot of right during the floor of the game. And so So I think that's the tough part for me, you know, just understanding the game and trying to, you know, see the game more clearly, but be more understanding in the floor of the game. But I am passionate about stepping on the floor, stepping in the gym, even with coaching, you know, wanting to learn, wanting to get better. Because if you want to be great at something, you got to be able to put your work in and do the job. And that's something that I'm willing to do, and I've always done throughout my career.
Well, there's definitely a stamp with your name on it here in Sacramento as far as the style of play that you played with the Kings. But more importantly, as you're mentioning coaching, there's a young point guard on the Sacramento Kings right now by the name of Isaiah Thomas that I know that you've had a hand in on. Kind of give us a little bit on what you've done to mentor him, because he's coming up on a contract year here. And, you know, there are some big decisions that the Kings organization is going to have to make. But, you know, talk a little bit about what you've done with him as far as his grittiness and his toughness in the NBA.
Yeah, I think, I think we clicked from day one. I think he deserves everything he gets because he works hard. He wants to be great, and he's a coachable kid. You know, he wants to learn how to be one of the best players in the league. And you don't find that a lot out of guys. You know, some guys already think they know it, but, you know, he's truly one of the true professionals. And from day one, he already knows the game. You know, I was just trying to show him a couple of things that I think he can get better with, that he can work on. And from that point, you know, he put the work in. You know, he was in the gym. He's always the first guy there, last girl to leave. You know, he's a leader. You know, guys gravitate to him. You know, you don't have to be big for guys to gravitate to you. You know, he's small. I was small, and I played for a long time. So we just gravitated. We kind of had a great friendship, and we still do got a great friendship. You know, but like I said, he deserves everything he gets because he works extremely hard, and I'm extremely happy for him.
And, of course, now you taking your efforts over to Minnesota with the Minnesota Timberwolves, that has to be something sweet as well because that is the place where you actually put your stamp as a collegiate player with the Golden Gophers. So with the Minnesota Timberwolves, they're a team on the verge of actually doing some great things. So, you know, what do you see for the Timberwolves here going towards the end of the season?
We just got to finish these last 20 games out strong. We got to have an overall effort on both ends of the floor. And, you know, we lost a tough game last night, but overall, we just got to come ready to play and dig in for 48 minutes and stay focused throughout these last 20 games and try to make this run for the playoffs.
Bobby Jackson with us here on the Double with the Double S Express. And, Bobby, you've gone into the coaching ranks, as we've mentioned, with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Do you have a vision as to how far you want to take this? Do you want to expand it and grow into maybe one day running your own team? How far do you want to take this coaching gig?
As far as it's going to take me. You know, I'll never be one of those players to say, well, I need to be a head coach. I think at the end of the day, I work extremely hard. And if I can be a coach and learn and continue to learn, I'm not putting a date on when I need to become a head coach or when I need to be a top assistant coach. It's a learning experience for me right now. And I think the best thing for me is learn as much as you can. So when that time comes, if that time comes, you know, I'll be ready. If it don't come, I'm still happy with being a coach and being able to be successful and help guys develop their games and work with guys throughout their careers.
What are your fondest memories from your playing days?
Fondest? Me just loving to play the game, waking up every day doing something that a lot of people would love to do. And you can't say that, you know. A lot of people wake up every morning not happy with what they was blessed to do. I was blessed to do something that, you know, a lot of people love to do, and it was just I was passionate about it. So, you know, that's the one thing that I'm fond about. You know, I was blessed to be able to play in the NBA. There's only 400 and maybe 50 of those jobs in the world, and we're the top athletes in the world. So to be able to say that I was one of those guys, that's a blessing itself, and I'm still humble to this day.
Bobby Jackson, kind enough to join us on the Double with the Double S Express. And, you know, Bobby, you had mentioned earlier that, you know, having the chance to move around and that's the way the business is in the NBA. Kind of give us an idea for those of the young men who are listening right now or young women listening right now that have the aspirations, how strong is the family life, you know, as far as, you know, having that foundation for you to continue? Because you played, you know, a lot of years in the NBA.
It's extremely important to have your family around you and to have a strong family background, you know, and I was fortunate to have that with me, you know, and whether it be my coaches, whether it be my mom, whether it be my sisters, you know, my uncles, you know, I had that family background, you know, and the one thing I can say is you have to be extreme. You got to be blessed, but you also got to be willing to work outside the bubble. That means work hard when people are sleeping or when people when people are not working. You got to be willing to take that extra step to get to that extra level, whether it be professional basketball, football, you know, soccer, whatever it may be, you have to be the athlete that has to take the extra step, and go the extra mile to get to where you want to get to.
Yeah, those are definitely good jewels and gems to go by. And, you know, Bobby, moving forward, you know, what are some of the things that you will be doing in the off season? I know that there are probably some camps that are going on or maybe some clinics that you're putting on. Give our listeners how they can get a hold of you over the summer or some of the things that you're doing.
Well, first of all, I'm gonna spend time with my kids. I'm gonna take them on a little vacation, maybe to Mexico, and because I've been here by myself and they've been in California, so that's gonna be the first thing I do. I ain't worrying about no camps, no nothing else. I'm gonna spend some time with my kids and take them on a vacation. But you know, I'll eventually do. You know, I'm gonna follow my son this summer with AAU basketball. I'm gonna coach my 10-year-old and my 13-year-old AAU basketball team. So I'm gonna be grounded in that aspect of being a dad and helping my kids develop into basketball players. And you know, I don't think I'm gonna do any basketball camps, but I'm gonna be grounded, pretty much grounded, to watch my kids develop as basketball players and help them grow as basketball players.
Bobby, you recently had some work done on your knee. How's the knee doing? And do you see a full recovery here pretty soon?
Well, I hope so, man. I had a bad injury, man. I tore my quad tendon, and that's probably one of the worst injuries that you can have in your knee. I still was trying to live a dream of being a basketball player, and I should have been sitting my ass down somewhere. But it's coming along. You know, I've been 2 months out. So I just got off my crutches, I guess, got my brace off, and now I'm just rehabbing just to get my knee back strong.
Well, yeah, there are definitely sightings, you know, over the summer. If you're in West Sacramento, you will catch Bobby Jackson playing pickup games, always living the life of basketball. Bobby, thanks for being on the show, man, and you are more than welcome to be a guest on this show anytime, my friend.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, there goes Bobby Jackson, former NBA player, 12-year veteran in the league, now coaching with the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Man, it was good having Bobby on and discussing some of the things that, you know, the transitions that he's made over the years, but, you know, keeping it real and keeping that solid foundation. So we're going to take a quick break, and then when we return, we will talk some more sports action, do a wrap-up of the show. You're listening to the best sports talk on the Double with the Double S Express.
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
Let's get back to great sports talk with big time guests on the Double with the Double S Express.
Welcome back to on the double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd as we close out show 43 here of On the Double for you. Great show tonight as we have welcomed big-time guest Percy Allen of the Seattle Times. He holds down the blog for the University of Washington men's basketball program. And, of course, we just said thank you and see you later. Welcome you back next time to Bobby Jackson, 12-year NBA veteran, now coaching for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah, you know, this is a great time of the year, Sean Wally. You know, we just had daylight savings time where we push the clocks ahead an hour, and the days are a little bit longer. You can tell the seasons are changing. The Ides of March are upon us, and what that means is March Madness with the NCAA tournament right around the corner.
Oh, absolutely. As we talked about with Percy, you've got the conference tournaments, most of them, of course, of the big conferences here in the next week. And some of the smaller conferences have already been decided and teams are punching their tickets into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, you know what I like the most about this time of the year, Sean, is that, you know, we get a chance to ramp up on, you know, all the major sports networks, especially ESPN. They'll show you what you were just talking about, some of the mid-majors and some of the majors that are going into their conference tournaments. And you get to, you know, see buzzer beaters that are, you know, from schools that you'd never even heard of. And, you know, you start to jump on that bandwagon in hopes that they make it into that NCAA tournament. And so this is a great time of the year to actually get excited and ramped up for championships. And again, the NCAA tournament.
You know, you talk about championships, and March is that for basketball. And let's talk about your experience this past weekend of calling championships at the high school level.
Yeah, you know, it's a lot of fun, you know, always, you know, trying to stretch and, you know, extend your name out there. And so this past week, what I did is I got a chance to call a few games at the high school level for the CIF, the California Interscholastic Federation. And it was for the NFHS, for that matter. And so I got a chance to call the game, and I got a chance to be a color analyst as well for the NFHS network. It was a great experience, Sean Wally. I mean, you know, the thing that we have to get comfortable with in the field that we're in is that, you know, you and I, we're very comfortable with each other. And there's no doubt about it. And, you know, we've been with each other for years as far as, you know, knowing what each other's going to say, knowing what we're thinking, knowing how it feels. When you get the opportunity to share with another as far as the play-by-play or color analyst roles, you really have to be on top of your game. And so, you know, I was happy for the opportunity to kind of get out there and spread my wings a little bit and see what we can do.
Well, I know it's just my opinion, but you were a shining star on the broadcast that you were on for the NFHS network, and you know, both boys and girls basketball championships there in the CIF Sac Joaquin section, and you were the reason to watch those broadcasts. They're available on demand at the nfhsnetwork.com, and if you're a fan of our show and Sean Boyd, definitely check them out. If you have any family members that might be playing in those games, or maybe back in the day you went to any of those schools in the Sac Joaquin section, definitely check them out and take a look at Sean Boyd and all the things he's doing down in the 916.
Well, man, you know, I really appreciate the kind words. And, you know, just as the guest that we have on the show, and of course, our last guest, Bobby Jackson, talking about putting in the effort and putting in the work, there's a lot of work for me to be done. And, you know, I'm just happy to have the opportunity to get a chance to do those things. And so, you know, every game that I get a chance to call, every time I get a chance to get on the air, I know that it's one step closer for me to better myself and be the best broadcaster. And, of course, for yourself, Sean Wally, this past weekend, you were up in Eugene, and you were stage managing for a huge Pac-12 game. The Arizona Cardinals were in town to take on the Oregon Ducks.
Yeah, definitely. The Arizona Wildcats, the number 3 ranked team in the country coming into the game, and they tried to invade Eugene, but the Ducks were not having anything like that on Saturday. And what a phenomenal basketball game it was. Take any ties and allegiances out. That was just a great basketball game from start to finish. You got Arizona up by 12. You're thinking, oh man, maybe they're going to run this real quick, and the Ducks will just be out of the gym here. And by no means was that happening. And it was the first time that Matthew Knight Arena was sold out this basketball season. And what a gorgeous venue that is. And CBS color analyst Doug Gottlieb, that I got to work elbow to elbow next to, he said that that arena may very well be the nicest arena in all of the country, which, hey, it was mainly paid for by Phil Knight, Nike money, so there's no reason it shouldn't be top-notch, and it was definitely that.
Yeah, Sean, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was getting ready to ask you to elaborate on Matt Knight Arena at the University of Oregon. And, you know, if you have never had the chance to get to the University of Oregon, you see things on TV, you see Autzen Stadium, which is the football stadium where the Oregon Ducks play. You know, you think, wow, you know, that is probably one of the greatest venues in the land as well. When you get a chance to get on the campus and you see the football stadium and then you go to the basketball stadium, they also have an awesome facility as far as the baseball program as well. And so, you know, Oregon does things first class. I have always said that if a player goes to the next level, a student athlete goes to the next level from collegiate to any professional sport from the University of Oregon, it is a step down as far as the facilities are concerned, because the University of Oregon does it right.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was a fabulous game, and we were all treated great there by the people at the university and people that work for the arena. And it was great to work again. Second time I worked with Doug Gottlieb, and I had a chance to meet play-by-play man Andrew Catalan. And he's going to be on the show in the near future and talk about his career and how he's made it in the world of play-by-play and sports broadcasting. So good things coming out of the weekend for sure.
So staying on topic with the NCAA, what are some things coming up with you here in the next couple of weeks with March Madness?
Well, staying with the CBS theme, I will be heading up to Spokane early next week, actually, after our next show next week, show 44, where we will be continuing the college breakdown and talking about March Madness. And we will know this next Sunday who will be playing where and who makes the NCAA tournament. And I will be up there for 5 days of work for CBS Sports and holding it down in Spokane. So it should be a great time.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Of course, you know, the Spokane Arena, that is, you know, the venue where the Gonzaga Bulldogs play their second. That's their second home, their home away from home. And that place gets loud. So I'm looking forward to seeing how the brackets pair, and hopefully you get some great teams up there.
Yeah, and it's just, again, similar to Oregon, Arizona, regardless of allegiances, the NCAA tournament and March Madness, as most everybody knows, most sports fans know, it's just phenomenal basketball, great sportsmanship, and you never know what's going to happen. It's the epitome of that's why they play the games, because there are upsets. For some reason, the 12 seed tends to upset the 5 at least once, if not twice, in the tournament, and it's just great sportsmanship, great basketball, and fans get to see it all over the country.
Well, you know, my friend, I'm looking forward to hearing some great things that happen up there in that part of the country. And of course, down here, there's the San Jose bracket as well. And so hopefully we can, you know, have some great teams down here, which I know that we will. And, you know, we can, you know, talk stories and compare the notes with all our listeners here.
Absolutely, and definitely get out there and fill out your bracket, and who can forget the chance at, what is it, the $1 billion bracket if you get every game correct? Of course, that's not going to happen. There's too many upsets. But, man, could you imagine getting a $1 billion check if you got everything right?
Man, you talk about the stresses of picking your bracket. I know during the football season, you know, with fantasy football, you get to elongate the stress, if you will, over a 4 or 5 month period. This time, with March Madness, it's within, you know, 2 weeks, and you just, you know, run yourself ragged. There are people right now, as soon as the brackets come out, that are going to try to scientifically figure this thing out and try to get those billions and billions of dollars. Can you imagine that? You know, all of the time, the energy, the effort that, you know, to put in. I mean, would it be worth it, though? Wouldn't it be worth, you know, getting $1 billion?
I'd fill out a billion brackets if I had to get $1 billion. How many brackets are you going to fill out online, Sean?
Well, you know, I always have about 4 or 5, and you know, whichever one looks the best, that's the one I'm going to talk about the most. But but truthfully, you know, I'm going to try to narrow it down here and be as accurate as possible. But you know, this time of the year is definitely a fun time.
So do you strategize? Do you play each bracket differently, or do you stay the course and take the same team to the championship all the way through?
Well, that's why, you know, you stay glued to the TVs. For us as broadcasters, we have to. And so this gives me my green light to watch ESPN from sunup to sundown, from, you know, whatever conference, and, you know, whether it's the Holy Smoke Nuts conference and whatever team decide is on the verge of making it in, whether it's Slip on a Rock You or who knows you what, you know, that I get a chance to dissect all of that and figure out how my bracket is going to go. So I'm excited.
That's the voice of Sean Boyd in Elk Grove, California. I am Sean Wally at the Papa John's Tri-Cities Studios in Richland, Washington. This is On the Double with the Double S Express as we wrap up show 43. Big-time guest tonight, Percy Allen of the Seattle Times, and Bobby Jackson, 12-year NBA veteran, now coaching with the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Man, so excited to have Percy Allen on talking, you know, Pac-12 basketball. And, of course, his prowess with the Pac-12 is the Washington Huskies, you know, just trying to figure out some of the things that have been going on over the past couple of years, and will they right the ship? Always interesting to find out what happens up there in the Pacific Northwest, and you know that, Sean. The great thing, second guest Bobby Jackson coming on, you know, always getting always a thrill to get a chance to talk with him, and, you know, worked with Bobby a couple of years ago with developing some nice players that have gone on to do some great things at the collegiate level. And, of course, you know, Bobby talking about, you know, he's going to take a little time off from actually doing some of the clinics and everything and spending some time with his, you know, with his family and watching, you know, his son play. Kendrick didn't get a chance to talk about his nephew. That is an awesome story as well, that Bobby's taken him into his home and developed, and Sharon's doing some awesome things as well. So it's good to hear that he's taking the time out and spending with the family and just unwinding a little bit.
At the end of the day, family is what matters, and family's going to be there for you till the end. So it's good that Bobby's taking the time out here in this upcoming off season.
Yeah, you know, and of course, you know, he's a Sacramento King legend. And so that's why, you know, I had to ask him, you know, about Isaiah Thomas and some of the things that he's developed, that he developed with him here. And so, you know, awesome talks with Percy Allen and Bobby Jackson. And so look forward to, you know, having him on again.
And next week, we'll continue the college basketball talk, as we'll have two big guests that cover the round ball in the college ranks, and we'll get to the March Madness NCAA tournament, as Selection Sunday is this coming Sunday. And we'll dissect it all next Monday, show 44, right here on the Double with the Double S Express. Talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.